This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Every family has its secrets, few compared to the Lichtais. Steve Lichtai was adopted by a devout Roman Catholic family. Growing up in a small house on a Kansas farm, he was adored by his eight older siblings, adored and sheltered from a painful secret about his identity. And everyone in their small town knew the truth before he did.
Well, I always assumed that you already knew, because the kids, our kids, would have told him. Oh. Well, that's strange.
Never
I can't
knew.
Believe they kept a secret like that for
well,
so long.
Well, and not only did they keep a secret, this is a small community. It was an open secret.
That's Steve talking to Don and Mary Jane Lichtai, the mother and father who raised him. Steve is a producer for NPR and now filmmaker. His documentary Open Secret was an official selection at the 2011 Hot Docs Film Festival in Toronto. And Steve Lichtai is with us now from NPR in Washington. Steve, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So you had a pretty normal Midwestern childhood. Did you always know you were adopted?
Yeah, I did. When I was around 5 or 6, my parents set me down and, you know, said that you know we adopted you, and that was really the last of the discussion of that. I don't remember asking a lot of questions about it, but I know that I did, but I don't think it was something that was constantly on my mind. But it was definitely part of my history.
This film is your exploration of the secret of your adoption. Let's hear just a clip from Open Secret. Now, you return to your parents' farm to find out more. And you talk to some of your old friends who remember things about your childhood.
Did I talk at all about being adopted with you?
Just said that you were adopted and had no idea who your birth parents were. I remember, I don't know if you remember this, in maybe second, third grade, our plan was to buy a semi, go truck, and look for your parents while we were working.
I was in this of the school of thought that you can trust your parents, and I knew your parents and I trusted them, but there are parts of it that just didn't seem feasible to me.
We heard first from your friend Vance, who said, you know, we thought we had this fantasy of buying a semi and going looking for your parents. Well, when you came of age, you didn't do that, but what did happen at 18?
Well, at 18, the night before my high school graduation, Vance and Alan, who you both just heard there, they came to my house. They came into my bedroom and Vance said, there's something that we want to tell you. And I was surprised because they were so serious and they weren't really serious guys. And I had no idea what they were about to tell me. And then, you know, Vance said to me, you know, we know who your mother is. And I said, you know, well, who? And they said, your sister. Your sister's your mother. And I said, I think I might have asked, you know, which one? I don't even think I
right,
put
you
two
have
and two
several.
Together. Yeah, I have 6 sisters. So, and you know, they said, "Well, Joni is your mother." And then I, from what I remember, which is a little vague, and from what I also my friends Alan and Vance both remember, is that I was instantly, you know, incredulous, and then I became sort of contemplative about it, and trying to figure it out in my head how this could be possible. But I was shocked. I was very shocked. I had no idea.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, at age 18, everyone's figuring out their identity. But for you, you know, there you were, right about to begin your new life, uncovering these kind of layers identity or identifying these layers of identity that you had to peel back. And, you know, we heard your mother a little earlier laughing it off. You know, I thought you knew, kind of minimizing right. A huge revelation that your parents were actually your grandparents. So do you think they got what this meant to you?
No, I mean, I don't. I think ultimately that they, I think ultimately they did in the process of talking to them for the film, which I did over several years and many interviews with them. But initially, no, you know, it wasn't something. There was a lot of self-preservation going on here, and I don't necessarily. Looking back, I can have this perspective now. I don't really blame them for what they did. It was a very difficult situation at a very difficult time. You know, this is 1969 Kansas, in a very Catholic part of the country, and this is not something that you necessarily want to be out there, that your oldest daughter, you know, got pregnant. You know, an unwed mother is not a great thing in 1960s Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of self-preservation going on. But no, I don't think that they understood what, you know, and the thing is, how could you? understand it, right, unless it actually happens to you. And it's one of these things where 18, the age of 18, is not a great time to learn this information about yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a hugely pivotal moment in your life. And to be leaving high school and moving on to the next part and to have this sort of identity rug pulled out from under you was difficult to figure out for. I had a hard time dealing with it for a good 10 or 12 years.
Yeah, I can't imagine there being a good time to learn this.
No. Those are some pivotal ages, I think, and that sort of moving from childhood to adulthood and finding that out was difficult.
Well, I think we sort of watch you grow throughout this process, too. I'm guessing at when some of these conversations, or at least the chronology of some of them. There's one when your adoptive mother, Mary Jane, she responds to your questions about keeping the truth from you. Here's a little clip.
Well, what would you have preferred if we called us Grandma and Grandpa or Mom and Dad?
It's not so much that. I wish you would have adopted me and said, by the way, we also happen to be your grandparents. Mm-hmm. But we adopted you because we love you and we want you to be in the family. I always think it's better to tell people that you're family.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I always think it's better to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And you guys didn't tell the truth.
Well, we just didn't tell. Didn't ask.
Why are you being so stubborn about that point?
No. Well, it's not the lying when we didn't answer. Wasn't asked a question.
But I didn't know to ask about it.
Steve Lickteig is with us. He's a producer for NPR in Washington, now filmmaker. And we just heard a clip from his film called Open Secret. It documents his unraveling a really hurtful family secret that he grew up with, not knowing that his oldest sister was indeed his mother. Steve, it strikes me as so courageous of you, or maybe made me squirm to see her, this now tiny old lady who was described by all of your family as kind of imperious, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
How do you approach resolution when you and she see things so differently?
Well, it's funny. I don't know that we never got resolution. I mean, that was a very frustrating interview with her. She would not admit that there was any lying. I mean, and I know lying is a very strong word, and that's what happened. But she calls it omission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm not asking, how can they lie? And we never really did reach anything on that. That never, there was no agreement that came from that. It was sort of agree to disagree moment, and that was hard to be sitting there across the table from her as an adult, and her as an old. She was in her 80s then.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe she'd have a moment of, you know, you're right, that we did keep something from you and we're sorry, but that didn't happen.
And that moment never comes. And there's the point when your then fiance, Barry, very wisely says to you, you know, you might not get the resolution you're looking for. This might not turn out to be the, I don't know, catharsis that you're looking for.
Yeah, she had really great insight. I mean, I think as only someone from outside looking in could, that I wanted all these threads to be woven together perfectly and for everybody to come together and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, not only to me, but to each other, Mary Jane, my mother, to Joni, my birth mother, to have them come together and sort of get their stories aligned. And my fiance, now wife, Barry, just says, That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. You need to find a way to move on from that.
We're going to hear a conversation with you and your birth mother, Joni, also your oldest sister. What did you want from her when you set out to make the film?
From Joni?
Yeah.
I wanted to know what was going through her mind. I wanted to know a lot of things. I wanted to know what she was thinking when she got pregnant, what her plan was for herself and for me when she found out she was pregnant. And why she felt the need to go along with the plan that my parents had constructed as far as adopting me and then not telling me that I was actually part of the family.
And about your father, I think. We learned
and my father, who I didn't find out about him until I was almost 30 years old. I mean, I knew, you know, obviously Joni knew who he was because she had been with him, but she didn't know anything about him. And I didn't find out about his past until I was 30 years old.
There are several conversations you have with Joni in the film. Here's a clip from just one of them from the film Open Secret.
You're my mother, and I understand that, but you're also my sister. And
no,
you
I'm
are,
not your sister.
You are, by law.
No.
Yes, you are.
I am not your sister.
Legally, you are my sister.
But
biologically, I'm not your sister.
Right,
and there's a difference between that. I am sorry.
But we were raised to believe.
Oh, I know you were.
You know, Steve, it strikes me in this film a lot of impasses like this and deeply burrowed resentments, I think, on her part especially. Mm-hmm. You could have been rageful about this, but I'm really struck by your compassion for the players, you know, even though they were so close to you and it was so weighted for you. How did you get there?
It took a while, to be honest with you. I mean, when I said I found out at 18 and then in my 20s were kind of this mess of just keeping everything sort of locked in and not dealing with it. You know, my family didn't talk about this until I came home almost, 17 or 18 years later with the camera. So we had never discussed this secret as a family. And at that point, I was ready to just know the truth. I did not go home and start making this film as to bring about accusations. It was simply to uncover the truth. And I used the camera as a way of getting people to take what I was doing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that it sort of worked in the sense that they did take it very seriously and they really wanted to talk and also to give them a very respectful and professional space to do that talking in. And I was able to get at a lot of reasons. And, you know, I uncovered all of these repressions and all of these worries and concerns that I didn't even know existed. And I now have such understanding as to why this decision was made and why it was kept from me. I totally get it now. And it took me the process of making the film to get to that point. And listen, there was some, you know, I was angry occasionally, but I tried to not let that show in my interviews. I know that makes for more dramatic mm-hmm. filmmaking, yeah. possibly, but that's not what I tried to do or wanted to do in the making of the film. I wanted it to be a respectful place where people could just tell their story without being told, no, that's wrong, or that you're lying.
I can almost see you struggling to rise above that in some spots.
There were places, for sure.
How can listeners see the film?
Well, it's one of these incredible stories of documentary filmmaking where it's very frustrating. There's a slow rollout situation. It's been in a couple of festivals. It's been broadcast in Israeli television. It'll be in Sweden in a few months. And I'm trying to find an American distributor. And I'm hoping soon to be able to get it onto DVD. And then people can go to the website, opensecretfilm.com, and can order the DVD. But I'm looking for a distributor. Broadcast distributor in the United States right now.
Well, short of going to Israel or Sweden, we will look out for it. And we really thank you, Steve Lichtai, for a very honest and unflinching film.
Thank you very much.
Steve Lichtai is a producer for NPR. His documentary is called Open Secret. Now, you can watch an extended trailer of the film and find out more about it, as in the progress of where it's going to appear, at wordofmouthradio.org. And our thanks to Jack Rodolico for his help in producing this segment. You can also follow Word of Mouth on Facebook and on Twitter. Coming up, part library, part circus. That's all you get for that tease. That's when Word of Mouth continues from NHPR.